This episode of the Free Lunch Podcast is brought to you by the Selma Project, an initiative created to infuse hope and inspiration into the youth of Selma, Alabama through culture, art, and entertainment. This initiative calls on friends of the Selma movement to use their gifts and talents to pave a road of success for future generations. Check them out, selmaproject.com, and brought to you by faithful listeners everywhere. And now to the show, welcome to the New South Movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, a classic. A classic. A classic.
Bismillah. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Yeah, I chose the path chose me. It's the Lord's plan, divine decree. Natural high, window sheet, upper parallel view, let the ghetto see. BK, and OLA, OMF, GLD, amazing grace.
Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, home of the New South Movement. This your boy Tight, and I got my man B-Jeezy with me. B-Jeezy, no game, no gimmicks. What's happening?
I ain't forgot. Nights like this, I wish the raindrops would fall. You are now listening to Eddie Kane and the Five Heartbeats. Free Lunch Podcast, what's happening? It's your boy B-Jeezy, 2-7 Kid, huh?
What happened to Eddie Kane? How you doing today, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you today, my brother?
Way up. I feel blessed.
They're going to talk about us with all these singing intros.
Way up. I feel blessed. Hey, man. We got the mayor with us today, sir.
The mayor is back in the building.
Can I bring him out?
Bring him out right, though.
Man, I'm going to bring him out. Introduce him. You first heard him on Free Lunch Podcast.
Yes, you did.
You saw him on YouTube, Free Lunch Podcast TV.
What else he do?
He is the sole person to get Claudia Jordan fired.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He was the one reporting firsthand what really happened at the Auburn Mall. No further ado, I'd like to bring out to you all the Mav of Auburn. Y'all know him as C. Frank Campbell. Please say to Frank, what's happening, C. Frank Campbell?
Walked in, 30,000 in my pocket, had to scream my light. Ooh, 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 ooh. What up, y'all? What's happening, world? What's going on, fam?
Oh, everybody got an intro. They going to kill us on this one. C. Frank Campbell, what's going on in the city, man?
Man, you know, we just down here maintaining, man, everything. You know, slow and steady during the summertime. Slow and steady wins the race, man. So we're just keeping it real and getting ready for a fall for everybody to get on back here and get it popping in the fall.
C. Frank Campbell. Yeah, C. Frank Campbell.
Yes, sir.
What is you drinking? He drinking. Can you have some type of etiquette on the mic?
Hey, man. It's been a long day, man. Had to get me a cold out the fridge.
I almost got one, but we ain't had none in the refrigerator. I was gonna be doing the same thing.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis.
You prefer to do it on the mic.
Dosey Keese.
So freak C. Frank Campbell.
What's up?
You got Claudia Jordan fired. I'm sitting there watching I'm looking at the internet. Watching the Breakfast Club.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And she on that talking about how she had to eat in the other room and she couldn't eat with the guest and she wasn't a good fit. Yes, did you get her fired, man?
Man, look, I can't say for sure that what I did actually led to her being terminated from her show that she was on, but all I can say is, man, you can't come down to somebody's backyard coming down here trying to make a name for yourself by putting down a place you have no ties to, no knowledge of. You can't come in my house and think you're just going to act up, man. We don't play that.
Well, I kind of feel sorry for Claudia. And, you know, she was looking kind of cute, though, on that show, man. Though. You know me.
She got them hammer time, though.
Did y'all hear that, man? Like, straight up acknowledge the fact that she got to have surgery for them things. So I'm like, what's really going on down there?
Yeah.
So see Frank Campbell, you got a fire. He back. Welcome to the show.
Who you gonna get fired this week?
Man, I ain't trying. I'm trying to uplift people this week, man. We trying to support solid people.
Okay, that is solid. Which brings us to another point. No names. But why is it hard to get our people?
Ah! I told you, CK.
No. Let this just a question.
I'm like, Method Man, get them.
Go ahead.
Why is it hard to get our people? Once you go Hollywood, you don't go back. Don't they got one to say, once you go black, you never go back? Well, can we say the same for those civil rights leaders and those leaders that once they get to a certain point, then they don't participate in the underground, the grassroots, the people that are less notable? Can I get some thoughts on that?
Man, I think as bad as we don't like it, you know, I just feel like once you get to a certain point, you just lose sight of those that might be, I don't want to say below you, but those that might be not have made it to the level or the heights that you've made it to. So you so high up and you focusing on things up high, you looking up, that you don't really have no time for the underdog or the cat that's trying to grind and make a name for himself. You trying to rub elbows with the folks that then made it and that's going to be able to take you higher.
Man, I think,
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either, man. I think a lot of people get there, man, and it's you so blind and so jaded and so oversaturated with what people consider as fame or famous folks, man, that you get so blinded, man, you don't even see people behind you, man. And I think that's a lot of the issues that we face. We got people that are supposedly speaking for us and supposedly represent our interests, but it's like you're so out of touch. And we've seen it a lot through all the stuff that's happened over the last 10 months in this country with black folks, people doing forums and doing town hall meetings, and you ain't talking about nothing because they so out of touch, man. It's just a shame, man.
But see, they had that rhetoric. See, you can have that rhetoric, and you can get up there, you can hoop and holler, and you can say all the right things, but I'd rather see a sermon than hear one in the day. I'd rather one to walk with me than merely show me the way.
And some of these folks are agents, man. And when I say agents, they are like posing as people that are in position to push the movement and to push this empowerment message. They look like us, but they are diluting the movement. They killing the movement by what they say on the platforms that they are on, or by what they fail to say at a time when people might need to hear a solid message or something with some direction. And they have this mass audience that they can really apply that message to, but they choose not to. And then the people don't benefit from their station and where they've gotten to. So some of these folks, man, are just posing as members of the community, but they're really in position to hold the community back.
I just had to say that because I wanted to get that off of my chest, because here recently, the Free Lunch to the family and to the listeners, the Free Lunch podcast has experienced people and individuals not having time, you know, always busy. So I just felt like for those that couldn't read between the lines as to what we was referring to, I did want to bring it up and kind of introduce it and kind of talk about it. One more thing before we get into the topic. So I'm reading a new book. Just got a book called Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. And when I tell you it's a must read, it's really a book that speaks to what essentially the three of us experience on a daily basis. And it's a book that really talks about the viewpoint of what an African-American male experiences throughout his entire lifespan. And so the author actually is writing, and he's taking a memoir, using a James Baldwin kind of blueprint to write this book, in which he directs the book to his son, who is 15 years old. But in doing so, he's really talking not only to his son, but his son represents us and all of us. And so it's a unique book. It's one I highly recommend. I'm halfway through. It's only 160, 70 pages. It's a quick read. So I've been reading that before I go to bed, and I recommend it. Either one of you two guys reading anything new that you want to recommend? You know, we recommend new CDs that come out. Everybody got that Meek Mills. Y'all listening to that Boosie.
Shout out to Meek.
Y'all listen to that.
Back to the mainstream. Shout out to Meek.
Oh, I like that Meek. That Trilla's go hard. Dodge,
Omeka.
There we go hard. That go hard. Trilla's. You know, and then y'all listen to that Boosie, Black Heaven.
The Boosie Black Heaven.
And then y'all listen to that new Future that's out.
Future, what up, Future? What up, Future? Shout out to Future. Future, man. Holding tough. Even though his baby mama out here in these streets letting another dude push his baby carriage. I rock with you, Future. shout out to Russell Wilson and Sierra for bringing Black Love back.
Yeah. Man, what is wrong with Russell Wilson? Now let's talk about that. What is he talking about?
Boy, poet.
Yeah, man.
No, don't go there. The Lord spoke to him, man. That's the Lord speaking.
Yep.
The Lord told him not to do that.
Well, Future say the now, Lord ain't tell him that. He said they prayed.
Shout out to Future. Future, you know where Future from, though. No.
Yep.
Where he from?
Future from the A. Future, I know. From down here in this way that we moved down here. So
and Richard and Russell Wilson from Richmond, Virginia.
That different. That's the DMV, ain't it?
Yeah. Well, it's about 2 hours. That's where VCU from. Shout out to Shaka Smart. And we going to shout out, folks. Shout out to Shaka Smart, the old coach of the VCU Rams.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. What'd he do?
Oh, he gone. No, he from Richmond. I was just saying that. You shout out, folks. So.
Oh.
Man,
go ahead. You had a problem with Russell Wilson, though. Go ahead and finish that, though. What's wrong with Russell Wilson?
No, I was just asking y'all, man, what is he talking about?
He got a word, man, that what he's supposed to do, man, or wasn't supposed to do.
Talking about him making the declaration that he and Sierra was not going to have sex until they were married?
Yeah, what is your thoughts on that?
What wrong with that? That's what they decided that they were going to do.
Okay, moving on. Are you reading anything?
I guess we don't agree with it. I guess the three of us would do something different, huh?
My mama listened to this. Moving on. Are you reading
questions on the grounds that may incriminate me?
Fifth. Leading the fifth on this thing. Okay, moving on.
What are you reading anything, sir?
I'm on finishing up the Souls of Black Folk, WB Du Bois. Talking about the soul of the people, man, and the things that the people have been held down by early 1900s, and some of that stuff is still applicable today in 2015. So it's a good read, giving some enhancing the perspective a little bit. So I'm finishing that up right now.
C. Campbell, you?
Man, I'm not reading anything new at the time, man, but I check back with my essential writings and speeches of MLK, Martin Luther King, every now and then just to brush up on some things.
I got you. So... any other hot topics, anything y'all wanted to talk about before we get into the actual conversation for today?
Man, I just want to put Donald Trump on the prayer line. Donald Trump setting the Republican Party and American politics back by 250 years with the foolery. So I'm going to put him on the prayer line. And
I'm going to have to disagree.
Come next week, he'll have a different approach to this thing because he's killing me.
I'm gonna have to disagree. He's more authentic than any of the other candidates out there. Name somebody else that's more authentic.
He authentic, but Lord have mercy. He just do something to me, man.
They say, I mean, we talk about this in the subject matter, but they say Bill Maher say he the white Kanye.
Oh, Kanye. I guess that could be true.
I'd be anxious to hear what that is. But to me, he's the most authentic out there. He the most authentic. At least he telling you the truth. At least he ain't in disguise. He not telling you what he gonna do. And when he get in office, he didn't have no plans of doing it.
Man, he authentically idiotic. How do you even with that type of thing? How do you even end up being a potential candidate for anything of that magnitude?
Well, money.
I guess
talks.
There's hope. I guess there's hope for all of us, though. Huh?
Money talks. But I'll be interested in having this debate real soon because as the political race continues to grow, we definitely need to continue to educate our listeners and tell them what's really happening. So I'm looking forward to having that debate.
I tell you what, he keep talking about the people in Mexico. He'll be quiet.
El Chapo real. El Chapo got a tunnel in the Gulf of Mexico on their way to Alabama now.
You talking about somebody that can't be held. Man.
Yeah, that dude that's real. That's the real Scarface. That's the real Scarface. So anything else y'all want to discuss in the hot topic?
Man, I'm just gonna piggyback on you. You kinda set the table for it, but yeah, we're gonna be political central as we get closer to these elections and all these caucuses and debates and all that kind of stuff. We're gonna be covering that stuff from our perspective and giving it real. So that'll be something to look out for and get excited about as we get closer to that point in time.
Cool. So the opening was brought to you by Thomas Allen Collection. So Thomas Allen, When Tying a Knot Really Counts. So for those of you that are into wearing neckties, we'd like to introduce you to one of our sponsors, Thomas Allen Collection. It's a men's accessory line designed to attract and capture a variety of tastes with a unique appeal. Thomas Allen strives to produce extraordinary designs to turn on a new leaf on fashion for men and their desired occasions. So I rocks with the Thomas Allen Collection, guys. I got me a few Thomas Allen Collection ties, and I do wear them. And they are extremely nice, and I've gotten a lot of compliments. So if you're interested in getting you a Thomas Allen Collection tie, go to thomasallencollection.com. That's thomasallencollection.com. Really nice ties, man. You guys got some of them Thomas Allen Collection ties yet?
Yeah, they fly too, man. They got a couple of them that you can like reverse. Like on one side, the design pattern is one way, and then you flip it over, so you actually kind of like have two ties in one. So I got a regular traditional necktie and a bow tie. I rock with them, and them ties was featured on TNT NBA one point in time. Like Shaq and Charles and them had them on. Not too long ago. So yeah, we really do rock with them ties for real.
I'm telling you, you better get you one if you don't have one. To these ladies, to our female listeners that listen to the show, you trying to get your man a gift. I'm telling you, you'll get some things done for you if you just go out there to thomasallencollections.com. You purchase one of those ties, surprising with it. Maybe, as a matter of fact, we talking about Sierra and Russell Wilson. If Sierra opened the door with just a Thomas Allen Collection tie on, then we know what's gonna happen. And I'm done. So with that being said, on today, we're gonna allow the mayor to kinda guide and drive the show for the day. I'm gonna pass the mic over symbolically to the mayor. He's gonna get somebody fired on today's show. We don't know who, but in about a month, 3 to 4 weeks, depending on who we speak on today, somebody gonna get fired. So see Frank Campbell, the mic is yours.
Today we're not getting anybody fired. We hopefully will try to inspire some entities and industries to begin to hopefully, or at least think about talking the truth. So today, I want to introduce to the Free Lunch fam and me and the guys will have a discussion. I want to talk about comedic activism. And so where I got that from was just a lot of things over the past few weeks or whatever, but I saw a tweet about a Dave Chappelle in Esquire magazine referring to his kind of so-called comeback and kind of how he can really be himself again and actually bring talk truth and talk realism through his comedy again due to everything that's going on. As you people all know, Dave was always hitting you with some undertones of activism and really what was happening, you know, in our community on his show and his comedy, much like a lot of other people. But, you know, things kind of went a certain way for him where he felt like he couldn't do that. And he stepped away for a while. And so so that's kind of where the topic comes from. But where I was inspired, and we can kind of let the conversation go from here, was really after the Charleston shooting. You know, everybody was on fire the next day. I mean, every Facebook post I saw or Twitter feed had Jon Stewart's response to it from The Daily Show. And we all know Jon Stewart is not afraid to speak his mind and not afraid to kind of just say what it is and what a case may be. And he just kind of, as I sat there the next morning after the shooting, you know, I was watching, I've been watching CNN, I've been watching, you know, Fox News and some other affiliates just cover it, you know, and I was listening to it and I was like, you know, kind of feeling like, man, are people really talking about what just really happened here? Are we just sugarcoating it, being politically correct, and just really skimming over the surface? And like Ty said earlier, just talking a bunch of rhetoric. But when I clicked on that clip, man, and just heard him talking from the heart, like he was saying, he said he got one job. One job is to come in every day, look at what's going on over the last 24 hours, write some jokes, make some funny noise. But he said, I didn't do my job today. He said, because we had a tragedy in South Carolina. And he said, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, that we'll look this thing in the face, we'll see it for what it is, we can see it for the violent, racist, ignorant act that it was, and we still won't, as a country, won't do nothing about it. And when I heard that, man, like, honestly, I sat at my dining room table, and I felt kind of my eyes welling up with tears, because I'm like, man, you know, he really talking the truth right now. He's speaking from the heart, and, like, this is a major guy that has millions of viewers across the world, and I thought to me, why is it that the fake news seems to be the only one telling the truth, the real truth? And so that's kind of where I wanted the conversation to go and get you guys' thoughts on where we are as a society. Not saying this is a new thing or a new concept, but just why is it we seems that the people who are supposed to entertain us and make us laugh seem to be the ones with the most truth in the pulse of the people in the eye of what's going on, rather than those who are paid millions of dollars to cover the news and to cover sources. Why is it that they seem to continue to toe the line, speak the rhetoric, yet still the ones meant to make us laugh hit us where it means the most?
So with your major news outlets like the CNN and the Headline News, MSNBC, all of these people, like, they'll tell you the story, but there'll be pieces missing that, you know, I sit there and I'm like, okay, well, surely they're going to say that this is connected to race, or that sex and gender played a role in this, and they seem to creep right close to that line, but they never will go ahead and just tell the full story. And then when I look deeper at it, it's just like, okay, well, most of these things are owned by the same people. They're owned by, like, a Time Warner and entities like that. And so they have an agenda to push, and they have to protect image and all that type of stuff. So they'll go far enough to that point of getting you excited or getting you angry, some kind of way getting you emotionally connected. But they're not going to go into the realm of really telling the full story in its entirety. And so that's the difference with these comedians, man. They have gotten conditioned to just tell it like it is, and they use their craft to make it comedic for the most part. But they are very, you know, courageous in just saying what it is and what's really going on, and they don't hold any punches with that.
Points all valid, but you have to look at the macro versus the micro. And those comedians are individuals, right? And because they're individuals, they have their own individual brand. And in a lot of ways, they don't represent a larger entity, i.e. CNN or Fox News or what have you. So when you're an entity and when you're your own brand and you have the ability to essentially speak from your truth and speak your integrity, then you have the leeway to say those things. So I'm not surprised that Dave Chappelle, Jon Stewart, D.L. Hughley, those comedians, Chris Rock, those comedians that are essentially standing on their brand, and in a lot of ways are taking a risk that they want to speak their truth, which is what attracts and why so many folks are attracted to them, because of their authenticity. But you shouldn't expect a CNN or a Fox News, who's in the business for entertainment, to make money, which we've spoken about on previous podcasts. I think it would be ignorant of us as listeners to expect them to actually report the news versus reporting from an entertainment perspective. Journalism is a lost art these days. There are not a lot of journalists that currently live today. Let me take that back. It's not about living. It's about actually there are not a lot of journalists that report stories and facts. In a lot of cases, what's being reported is for entertainment purposes only.
I definitely understand that logic, and you know, definitely not ignorant to that logic. But, you know, to me, it seems as if, and it's kind of like, you know, I guess what question I would ask, and, you know, go so you can talk before we answer this question, is that, so since you brought up the fact that journalism is somewhat of a lost art, where have we gone wrong? Whereas you had journalists that weren't afraid, 50s, 60s, you know, 80s to a certain degree, early 90s. That weren't afraid. You know, some are still on the air on major networks. You know, some have retired and done their own shows now. But where have we gone to where it has become this robotic, you know, cookie cutter style of journalism where you can't get the authenticity anymore?
The way that I'm perceiving what's going on in journalism today is that, like, the messaging that we do get, the news that we do get, is real for a certain group of people. Some people can look at the news and they can be in total agreement with everything that's being said. And so for them, the journalists are doing a great job. It's just that it's not unilateral. It's not, the news does not cross over to, say, like white and black the same way. So when we look at these headlines and we see people using thug and angry and using all those go words, it's like, that's truth to a certain aspect of the community. But for us, it's like, man, that's not telling what's really going on. That's not really reflective of our truth. So there is some discrimination, I do feel, in the journalism that we're seeing in these news stations. Although they're entities versus individuals, it's still not balanced between the readership and the messages that we get as an audience from the things that are being published and presented on these platforms.
This is basically a part two of the Jason Whitlock episode,
right,
in which we talked about the undefeated and the role that the undefeated was attempting, the void that it was attempting to fill, and the role it was attempting to play. The question is not so much about journalism as it is more about their competition. See, CNN is competing against, and with all due respect, they're competing against TMZ TV. They're competing against Bossip, WorldStar. So that's the entity that they're competing against. They're not competing against the individual comedian that wants to go out and continue to enhance his brand. That's the competition, and that's why you see the CNNs and the Foxes or whomever, because they're becoming more of an entertainment versus that of a journalistic art form. And we have these comedians that are really in their own right speaking their truth. And it is refreshing to sit back and allow them to, in so many ways, speak on our behalf or say what we're thinking. But with all due respect, they're not, the media press isn't competing with those individuals.
I think their competition, you know, definitely also lies with each other in terms of the content, which they you know, which they provide. I think, you know, definitely Fox has an angle, Bloomberg has an angle, BBC World News has a whole different perspective when they present things, or the Today Show, or whatever the case may be. So I definitely agree with that to some aspects, but I think, you know, there's a lot to be held accountable. But as I move forward into the activism thing, I guess I would like to maybe pose a question or get your thoughts on, you know, looking at comedic activism. And I started out talking about Chappelle, but I want to go back a little further, since, you know, we've talked a lot about Selma. We talked about other things civil rights wise, you know, throughout the longevity of the podcast. And I want to go back to Dick Gregory, who I think for a lot of black people was the first that you could see as the comedic activist. You know, him coming to Selma in 1963 for the precursor to some of the marches and things, and how, you know, you may be using his platform of comedy to spread the message. And, like, you know, and you mentioned DL and some others. Are we seeing more of, or do you think we're going to see more of comedians today start to follow suit or start to be more engaged in what's going on in terms of trying to make a difference or actually be a part of the solutions, as we talk about, you know, be a verb, as you say, tight. Do y'all think we're going to see that? Or
I think activism as a whole is on the rise because stuff has just got so crazy. And the thing that social media has done is it's increased awareness at a very rapid pace. So if something happens in California, you know, we get the message within minutes here in the southeastern region. Like, we get this information, and then you start seeing this collection of all this crap that's going on day after day after day, that people are just getting pushed to the point of using whatever arena that they're in as a way of speaking out against that. The comedians, like you say, Dick Gregory, and you had a bunch of comedians, especially those early black comedians, were using that platform as a place where they could come and talk about or give social commentary. You see it in the sports. You saw it with the athletes of that particular time too, because the things of that moment were just so bad, and then nobody else was saying anything. So it was like, damn, we got to say something. We got to use what we have and our resources to say something about it. And I think we're getting back to this place because, you know, as I sit in my room and just look at all this kind of stuff, man, you just get to a point of the frustration of nobody saying anything about what's going on. The media is painting this picture. The boy go in, shoot up 9 people at a church, and then instead of just talking about what it is, instead of talking about it being a race crime, an action of hate based off of race, we go into talking about all his mental issues. He was just a misled child and all this type of stuff. So basically, they're using their platform to make us like we crazy, like we can't see what's really going on. And that's the unfortunate part, as we sit as African Americans, is that we don't have this collection of newspapers and magazines and radio stations and television shows that tell our truth. I think that's the only thing about this, is that they're going to tell their story the way that they want to tell it. But we need to be in a position of being able to combat with our own vernacular. And we haven't really gotten to that point as of right now.
Comedians are, in a lot of ways, most of them try to rid individuals from reality. And so their sole purpose, I believe, is that most of them take on the persona or the perspective of we talk about and we hear the news report on these stories. So rather than continuously put that in their act and use it from an activist perspective, I think most of these comedians try to get away from that to give people a break. So I would say overall, I would say probably no, but, you know, you have your few that are that have essentially made a career.
If you really look at it,
you're talking about comedians that have been doing this style for years.
Right.
So Chris Rock, D.L. Hughley, Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, this is what they've done. This is who they are. To really judge that question, you have to look at how many young comedians are taking that approach. And you can't name a lot of young comedians that are new in the game that are taking that approach. So I would say no.
Dick Gregory made a small and short-lived attempt to run for president at one point in time. You look at somebody like Al Franken. Some people may not know who he is or remember who he is, but he was a writer on Saturday Night Live. He was did the sketch. I think his famous sketch was Stuart Smalley. You know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. So that's what most people will remember him from Saturday Night Live. But, you know, he made a successful run and was elected to Senate in Minnesota in 2008. And, so I say, you know, he's one, I guess, a rare case that has taken from comedy and taken that observational gift, I guess I would say, that comedians have, transitioned that slowly to a political talk show, I guess. And then from there, make a successful run for state Senate. So I know I say, you know, there have been cases, and I guess in my time, but I guess from what you're saying, from what I'm seeing, is maybe there has not been enough of people having the courage to maybe step out. But just like I say, it may be their thing. Let me come out and entertain you for a little while, and then I'm going home and giving you a break from society. But, you know, to me, there's such a blurred line to where at some point when you get out there, I think even with Chappelle, he was like, I think he kind of, that blurred line kind of had him like, well, let me step back for a minute, because he felt like, I'm speaking all this truth. Are people really hearing what I'm saying, or are they just laughing at me?
See, Calvin, that's a niche. What you're wanting and what you're asking for is a niche. That's a certain. I mean, it's just like Charlamagne on the Breakfast Club. Charlamagne has been given the right to essentially say whatever the hell he wants to say. And maybe that was built over time or what have you, but he can literally get on the microphone, say what he wants to say, and get away with it. It's not too many radio personalities that can get away with that. So the comedy activist, the comedian that can get on stage and say what he wants to say, and get, it's only a few that can do that. And those are far and in between, because it's essentially a niche. It's a form. It's a way of communicating that people can really talk about. So in my opinion, I just think that because of, and really the true conversation that we should be having is really around what they're talking about. Jon Stewart is talking about these police killings, and we just had the Sandra
Bland.
Yeah, you just had her killing, you know. And that's really the beauty of what they're doing, is they're allowing us to talk about it. Right. And really, that's really what we should really try to talk about those stories that they're putting on the forefront.
But I don't think you can all the way discount that they are not playing a role, or they don't have, they're not coming from an activist position, because one of the levels of activism is heightening the consciousness.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that.
So no, I'm just saying they're just overall that there's a place, because when you look at, say, like, when you look at Dave Chappelle did the scene with the black white supremacist, blind black man, grew up his whole life thinking that he was white, and he was a part of the coup. He was leading the Ku Klux Klan, writing all these books to lead the Ku Klux Klan, and then they found out he was a black man posing as a white supremacist, but that's a real thing. Like, there are black white supremacists out there, black people that are pushing forth a white supremacist agenda. So that increases your consciousness and your awareness of what's really going on in the world. And that's speaking truth to power to the situation that you're in. Black Jesus, which was comedic, but there was some real stuff in there to increase your awareness of life and things that you may be doing in your life that you might be doing different, or just being aware of what's going on in the world around you. So that's a strong part of activism. And I think it's no different than an author writing a book, speaking about certain things and enlightening people that way. I think it's just a different mean or medium for this overall push for people having a greater respect for humanity and being aware of some of these ills that are affecting us on a day-to-day basis socially.
But I don't think that there are more comedians that are doing that. I think we just have the same comedians being more vocal because they have earned the right to speak on those things.
That's so real, man, because, you know, I had an encounter the other day as we get ready for this event in a few weeks. For the 50th, and we're trying to get a forum together, and we're trying to have people to participate in the forum, experts from the area to come in and just talk about voting rights and what we can do as a public to be better voters and be more informed. And so we're calling on people, and I've had people to drop out of the thing, people that are actually in positions. They are in elected positions that really have insight on voting and all of the procedures and stuff, pull out of the thing, I guess, because they haven't reached that point to where they can come in and talk comfortably. They're afraid of being associated with something, or they are afraid of backlash from a certain group of people. So I think that's true about activism in itself. It's like, you got to be a strong individual, period, to be able to say what it is you're going to say and stand on it. And we've got so many people that you would expect to be leaders in this whole thing that shy away from it, that are not as courageous as doing that. So I think that's just true. We don't have a lot of those people, period.
My thing is not to say we got to get these folks elected to office or things of that nature. But I think, like you said, they play an important role in order to keeping the conversation alive, but also bringing it to a wider range of audiences. And I think a lot of times, if people were smarter, like you said, Gosa, getting involved with forums and things of that nature, we kind of hinted at some things early on in the show about people getting too big and not wanting to give back. But if we had more people that were willing to use their gift of comedy or whatever the case may be to continue to educate people and maybe come to a forum where, yeah, there are people there to see them, but then they're able to kind of step back to the background and let those that are on the ground, the grassroots folks, kind of have a voice and opportunity. I think the more that we see things like that happen, if we see those things happen, that's really going to help us push the conversations forward, like the Bill Cosby situation or the Sandra Bland situation or all the protests and things that are still going on in Charleston. I think, you know, these people definitely have a role to play and continuing to advocate for the injustices and things that are going on in society.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, they have a role to play, and yeah, it's entertaining, and yeah, they speak our truth. But to be honest with you, the biggest role or the biggest activist is social media now. Instagram is the streets. I heard Charlamagne say that on this show on Common Sense, which actually makes sense. Instagram is the new streets. That's who talking. Black Twitter is the ones that are really putting a lot of the activism and the happenings of what's happening in America. That's really who getting the voice out there, and that's really where the pressure is coming from. You know, the comedians again are speaking on behalf, in my opinion, of the individuals, but that's who really gets the credit, in my opinion, is social media. You know, how many of you would have known about what happened in Texas? Nobody would. I mean, a comedian could have got up there and read that in an article, but you would have had to go back and look it up to see what exactly what he was talking about. But when you got social media and you have so many people screaming at the top of their lungs, then that's where the exposure comes
from. Oh, I guess with that, you would have to really define what activism means to.
Well, I'm talking about exposure, exposure, exposure.
Oh, you talking about just reporting the news. Oh,
I'm talking about exposure, reporting the news, bringing attention to to the issues. I'm not talking about, because I'm a true believer in being a verb versus being a noun. And I'm tired of the tweets to say that I am Sandra Bland. Like, okay, but justice or else. That's what I'm about. You know, let's talk about justice or else, you know, I know when we were doing our prep for the show, we talked about incorporating the Sandra Bland into this conversation. Well, let's talk about her.
Yeah, we've seen several videos that have been released. Those have been edited that clearly have been seen or allegedly edited, and full of videos and commentary. We've seen reports on the records of what happened, or what the records say was in her system, or what happened, or what it was ruled. So what are our thoughts on Sandra Bland seemingly another victim of mistreatment or mishandling by law enforcement, and being another victim and casualty of what it seems has been plaguing us as a people for almost a year now?
I stand on my two feet on what I said on previous podcasts, and I fall in line with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Justice or else, because what is NAACP and all these civil rights groups doing? You know, you have to hold these people accountable, and you have to demand. You know, it's enough with the marching and enough with the social media. I appreciate social media for bringing this stuff to our attention, but you have to go and start forcing these police agencies and getting the federal and getting the FBI or the Department of Justice involved to force these local and these state, or either go to the state level, and you have to go to the governor and demand that they revolutionize the way policing is done. You know, we sitting here and each and every week we read about an unarmed black man or an unarmed black woman committing suicide or what have you, and we protest on the social media, but who's at the courthouse? Who's at the governor? Who talking to the governor? And demanding that you either change the policies or you be charged as a murderer. You know, we just have to be more strategic in our approach. All these local NAACPs should be in the governor's office or in the mayor's office of their city having demands. You know, that's the leader. They're the leaders.
Yeah.
But it's always reactive versus being proactive. It's enough reactive. Now it's time to be proactive and going there with a list of demands and expectations. Because if you don't do that, then you can't continue to go march at them, but you going over there to march on Washington. What are we marching on Washington for? We know what's happening. It's enough marching. Go, and if you're the NAACP lead, the head of the NAACP or the Urban League, you're supposed to be talking to your local chapters and providing them with documentation and legislation on how to go to the mayor, go to the state governor, and say these are the expectations that we demand. But everybody want to sit there and march. Now we gonna march, and they standing in the middle of the street in Birmingham.
Uh-oh.
I am a man.
Don't kill him. Don't kill him.
Don't kill him. Don't shoot.
It's happening. It's happening too much, like you said, man. It's like every week it's somebody else, and now it's affecting our black sisters, man. And you know, just to watch that video. And it's the same old thing. You know, policeman stops you, escalates the situation to a place that it doesn't even have to go. And then something horrendous as that young lady ended up dead in the jail. So you in police custody and you still end up dead. It just doesn't make sense. The problem that we run into, though, man, is that, like, one, we don't know where to go. Like, a situation like that, who do you call?
But that's the point. That's what. But we got these so-called leaders. See, I'm listening to the Tom Joyner the other day, and we got Reverend Sharpton on that, and he's speaking very well, and we got Roland Martin interviewing the folks, and everybody upset, and that's all good and great, but. You know, why not the national, what is Reverend Al Sharpton? He's the National Network.
National Action Network.
Why they not distributing out distributing out something to take so the people could take to the state governor or take to the mayor to say, hey, these are our demands and these are our expectations.
Well, maybe because they don't know what to do, or maybe because they're not prepared for it, or they might not really even be interested in those type of things. They might just be satisfied with being the organization that people look to for help, but they really ain't about really getting in there.
That's my
and
point.
Helping. This is where the contradiction comes in. It's like, we need to do something, but then we have to sit back, or we do sit back and wait on somebody else to do it. And so it's like, man, what can I do as BG in this seat right now? What can I do to put pressure on whoever I need to put pressure on? And I think as individuals, we got to get to that point, because if we don't, we end up waiting on somebody else to do it. There used to be a time to where when something happened, you had the legal team from the NAACP on it. Like, if there was any type of civil rights, something against a black person, the legal team from the NAACP was on it. And there was a group of trained black young attorneys that was hungry and was willing to fight.
But see, that's the problem, BG. That's what I'm saying. You're looking at a world from a perspective that lacked social media. See, when social media became a part of this society, that changed the entire landscape in the game. See, having the NAACP legal team come down for this big killing was important, and that strategy worked back then because that one story was the only story that people heard of. So we can come and focus on that one story.
But it's the same story. We've been affected by the same story.
You're missing the point though, BG. Let me finish the point. The point that I'm making is that with the change of social media, that one entity can't come down and try to fight all of these things. That one entity, in my opinion, and the strategy should be incorporating all of these individual legal teams in these cities and in these groups to be able to tackle these issues and make demands.
Well, you could do
that.
That's
my point.
But GLAAD don't have to do that. If something go down,
because they have a strong enough local presence.
Okay, so why is it that our blueprint, we got local chapters of these groups? So that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with you on that point, is that we have the local chapters, but they rely on the national. That's my point.
That's the whole thing, is we don't know what the hell to do. When something happened, we don't know what to do.
And that should be coming from the national. That's my point. The national should be having – see, the first time when Trayvon Martin or one of these young people got killed by a police officer or this security guard, that, in my opinion, the legal team from the head NAACP or the Urban League or the National that the National Action Network, they should have been putting together some steps or some policies and distributing those to the local chapters to say, hey, this is what you need to do. These are the steps you need to take. This is our expectation. Go talk to so-and-so. Now, that should have definitely happened. It may not happen after Trayvon Martin, but I don't remember who passed away first between Eric Garner and Michael Brown. But by the time that third person passed because of some security guard or because of some police officer, it shouldn't even be no question that they should have been the local, the National Urban League and National Network and NAACP at the top level should have been distributing some type of expectations as to what the local chapter should be talking to the local officials about and changes being made. And that ain't happening.
What I would say is, and I think what I'm hearing for both of you guys, is there needs to be a change in strategy or methodology. And there's a formula there that I think is the root of where we need to be. But I think what we need to look at is how we are delivering that to people. In terms of how we're delivering the message, I think has become diluted, and it's basically been lost, where we're still trying to use a formula that's been, you know, outdated in a sense for, you know, almost half a decade or a half a century or more. So I think we're not saying not that we get rid of the actual formula, how we approach things, but I think we need to take those tactics and update them. See, and like you said, we've talked about social media. We've talked about comedians. We've talked about several avenues of where people are getting their sources from or getting the news from or what's happening. But we got to learn to use that and learn how to segue to get things. I think, like you said, the legal team should have been down there. But I think we've had too many people trying to make a name for themselves and trying to still kind of come off that fame that other folks have made in the 50s and the 60s and still trying to follow that formula so they can get their name out there rather than being genuine. Like, you had your Fred Grays and people like that on the line that were genuinely there to help and do right. But like you said, you're not going to see Fred Gray in the media and doing all this stuff because Fred he's made his name, but he's trying to do the everyday work that helps people. And I think that's what you have is too many of those people. But then at the same time, you look at where we are, because even what I do, I mean, a lot of my work involves cross-cultural education, telling people how you are to treat each other, educating people on how to get past cultural barriers so that you can work towards a common goal, so that you can better interact and live with your fellow man. When I've done that, and I've even told, you know, our staff, you know, this year, say, hey, it's time for us to switch this thing up. But the thing I've used is you got to make people feel comfortable, make them laugh a little bit. Because when you mention diversity to a lot of people sometimes, they look at that like a cuss word. I mean, and they automatically shut you off because you use that term. But if you ease them into it, get them to kind of go along with you, laugh with you a little bit, feel you as a human being, and then you start slowly, gradually hitting them with it. Then they say, hey, maybe I do need to think about how I treat people or how I look at somebody. Or maybe I do have some biases on my own I need to work on. But I think where we have lost it with our agencies, that we've stuck, and those people have stuck and say, okay, these are our leaders. They become complacent. And then at the same time, they shut down the younger man sometimes. People like us, our friends that have grown up that may not have gotten the same level of education, they maybe still around the way around the hood. You got folks that people are following in the community. They might not be following around the right path. But my thing is, if you can take that dude that's on the corner, if you can take this person in the community that people like, look up, that's the cool dude, and get him on your team, then you can start to change some things. But we forget our scripture, like the pastor was talking about Sunday. You're coming out of Colossians 4, say, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. You got to be wise in how people view you. If they view you as always putting them down and not valuing their opinion, they ain't gonna fool with you. And that's where we lost it with a lot of those agencies. We put people down so much, we shut them out because of the way they dress, the way they act, instead of trying to help them and bring them in. And then we say, okay, once I got you in, that can help you better articulate yourself. We just shut them out automatically, and that's what shuts us down as a people and as an agency, while we can't get stuff done, in my opinion.
I'm perplexed by it all. And like I say, it's a handcuffing kind of feeling to where all this stuff is happening, and it seems to be happening exclusively to people from our community. Same situations time and time again. And we can't muster up anything tangible to make something happen. And so we just end up having the conversations, you end up having the hashtags and all such as that. And then after a few weeks, it's back to nothing. And then something else happens. And so we're just in this cycle of being mistreated. And I think a lot of our what we're experiencing is because the enemy knows that we're not prepared. They know that we're not unified and we're not organized. So that makes us weak. And they can do whatever they feel like they want to do, and nothing is going to happen. There is going to be no recourse. And until we as members of it, I guess, make a decision that we're going to stand in solidarity for whatever it is that we're going to stand for, it's going to continue. It's really going to continue. And that really bothers me to know that here we are, you know, in our adulthood, here we are in this time, 2015, that we're encountering the same type of things that, you know, our forefathers and our ancestors experienced 60, 100, 400 years ago. It just behooves me.
I'm done talking.
It is what it is.
Like, we can sit here and we can continue with the hashtags. We can all continue to get mad. But, you know, I stand on the grounds of being a verb. Be a verb. You know, it's enough nouns out there. Everybody rooting from the sideline. But, you know, that's the reason why I can dig the Selma Project. That's action. You know, that's the reason why LeBron going back to Cleveland and also empowering his circle is action. Some may argue marching on the National Mall is action, but I would tend to disagree. That's action or that's ignorance. You know, doing the same thing over but expecting a different result. So, you know, to hell with these leaders that have self motives and are not, you know, educating or teaching the local folks how to go down there and make demands. And so that's where I stand. So I'm done talking.
One thing that we do have to know is that just because it's good for the people, they might not jump on it. Like, they might not really get as excited about the action that you're putting forth as they should be. I've experienced that. And we were talking a little bit about this in the pre-show. It's just like that. Some people are so asleep that you can come in and try to bring them out and try to uplift them or whatnot. And because it's so unfamiliar to them, then they don't really even take advantage of it. And I always go back to when Harriet Tubman said, you know, she freed a lot of slaves, but she would have freed a lot more if they had known that they were slaves. And that's the other element that we're up against. And so it's just really just going to come down to what you say, man, just finding your lane, finding out how you can make a difference in somebody's life or in your immediate environment and just rock with that. Just answer to your purpose.
So, Cam, wrap us up so we can get up out of here.
All right, man. So I appreciate the boys for allowing me to kind of, you know, run this one and get some thoughts out. I think we segued into a lot of different things. I think what BG just wrapped up with is, you know, I would say probably the next show topic may be wake up. But I think we talked about a lot of things, and we started off talking about the comedy aspect of it, those guys having their niche and using their influence in the way they do to really inform the people, inform them about what's going on and get that message out to a lot of different audiences that otherwise probably wouldn't pay attention to it through normal things. And we segue that into what's happened with Sandra Bland and other venues and people not really not really waking up and paying attention to what's happening and really not doing anything about it. And I think that's probably where we are in society is, you know, we know it's a problem. You know, you see a fire burning, you smell smoke, but it's who going to put the fire out? And I think that's where we are. That's where we'll be until we get more people to stand up and rise up. But I appreciate the fellas for letting me come in and get some stuff off my chest and let us kind of discuss things as we always do in an open format and a way that we can bring it to the people that we know and hopefully get it to more. So that's my two cents. Appreciate the fellas. Tyke gonna do your thing and BG to do yours.
See, Cameron, who you got fired today?
Well, somebody's I think what fired. We talked about. I think we went out to Roland Martin. I think we went out to ACP.
We done held with the NAACP and held with the NAN, National Network, and the Urban League. The hell with them. That's what I heard.
Who they said fired. That? Who said that?
It wasn't me this time.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, man. You, everybody Hollywood not. Man, all this Hollywood stuff, I need somebody to put on their boots, put on their gloves and go to work and get their hard hat and get your lunch pail because all this celebrity civil rights leadership, that for somebody else. Celebrities, that what they need to have. If you want our reality TV show, go follow around all the celebrity civil rights leaders right now.
Yeah.
They do.
Follow them around. That's a TV show reality. And whoever invent that show, just credit me for the idea, because I do need sponsorship.
Man, get your check.
And I need always my check.
So, always looking for sponsorship.
Yeah, man. I'm about to read the last one. We talked about it earlier. And before I get up out of here, I got to give Thomas Allen Collection another shout out. Thomas Allen, When Tying a Knot Really Counts. You can find him at thomasallencollection.com. Sierra, go get Russell Wilson the Thomas Allen Collection tie and open the door with the tie tied. That is all you have to wear. Thomas Allen Collection is a men accessory line designed to attract and capture a variety of tastes with a unique appeal. BG.
Yeah.
How can the people reach us?
Man, freelunchpodcast.com for podcasts and blogs. Also, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Free Lunch Pod C. And on Instagram, like some of them pictures on there. Free Lunch Podcast.
Free Lunch Podcast TV. We on the YouTube as well. Coming to a city near you. So thank you, C. Frank Campbell, the mayor, for being on the show today. Be Jesus. As always, no game, no gimmicks. This is what we do. We are Free Lunch Podcast, home to the New South Movement. We are.
Let's go. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Get it, got him. Let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Super mathematics, not a problem. No, not for that old block. So sign away for that bull rock. Super small, handcrafted art designs. No, they know not. Flow tougher than tough time. Blacker than the ground, they drum line. No overdose, I'm overwoke. I'll be away from be everywhere like sunshine. I lead right cross, punchline. I beat the track, I eat the track. Brown paper breakfast, lunchtime, dinner date, dessert tray. Ramadan, flow hungry. You see the sign between the line is G's only. No dummies, I flow lovely. They go nothing, they catch feeling. These hoes touchy, I tell that job off. No bunch, no awaken, home study. But you show party, bless your soul. Sometimes the best way to touch it, stand and go. And let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Get it, got him. Let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Mathematics, before I chose the path chose me. This is the Lord's plan, divine decree.